Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see each one out this morning. Looking back a little bit at what Harold was saying about Job and about God desiring life and Job, or Satan desiring death. I don't know if I've shared this from up front before. I know I've heard this and shared it before. But we can tend to think of the powers that be as being God and Satan, and they're in combat. They are fighting each other for us, for control of us or ownership or whatever it might be. And there may be an aspect of that that's true. But don't ever forget that just as we are created beings who owe our life to God and our lives are sustained by God, Satan is a created being who is alive only because and only as long as God gives him that life. So it is God and then Satan and then us as far as power ranking. And when we are in Christ, we could, and I want to be careful here, but we could say Satan is below us in power ranking because we are given the victory in Christ. Okay, children, I do not have notes for you today. I'm going to give you four questions that you can answer during this message. Number one is, what is the work of God? When I do the work of God, what is that? Number two, if we love Jesus, we should do what? And I'll be coming back to these so you don't have to make sure you get them all written down now. Number three is, what is our theme for 2015? And number four is, where does our righteousness come from? In thinking of what to use as a theme for 2015, I tend to think of it off and on through the year, and then about December 25th get serious. We had the ministry team went to the shack in October. When was that? October. And we decided to try to be ready to work on it then. But I came up with the idea of using "What then shall we do?" as a theme. In Luke 3, 7 through 17, we see where the people came to John the Baptist and asked him, "What then shall we do?" And I want to look at his response to them. Luke 3, verse 7. "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered them and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." This passage And the question these people gave is something we probably can all relate to. We like to ask, at least if our heart is toward God, what shall we do? We like to get an answer that is clear and an answer that is simple, direct, something I can understand and do and follow. We like the idea of praying for wisdom. We ask God for wisdom in a situation. We say, what shall I do? And suddenly a voice comes from heaven and says, go here, do this, follow that. That's what we would like to have. That makes sense to us. What shall we do? We like clarity. We like direction. We like to be doing something for the Lord. We like action. We like to know that we are doing enough for Jesus and that He is pleased. When we went to the shack there, we had several ideas that we presented. But when we discussed this particular theme, we ran into a problem. This is the idea, this is the benefit of having a team. One of the benefits. Paul, on the road to Damascus, when he was struck down by the bright light, Saul at the time, his first response to, he first said, who are you? But his response to Christ was, what would thou have me to do? And he didn't get a clear and direct answer other than God said, go into the city and it will be shown you what you should do. So in our discussion of this, we came to John 6, and I actually had, in verse 28 of John, I think I have that here. John 6, verse 28 there it says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And I had the idea of we would have a theme that would show, so our theme is what then shall we do? And then we would have trying to live it out daily in our daily life. Lord, what shall I do? What would you have me to wear? What would you have me to listen to? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? Making it a daily and even a subconscious thought in our lives from, throughout the day. Lord, what would you have me to do? But if we look at the context of this verse, this is after the people had been, Jesus had fed the 5,000. They had taken up the 12 baskets full of leftover food. They just had an amazing miracle. And Jesus went across the water. And they suddenly realized he was gone. And they figured out where he had went and they followed him. And they came to him. And he says, you didn't even follow me because of who I am. You followed me because you got fed. And then he comes here in verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe. Believe on him whom he has sent. All of a sudden, I don't have clear direction. All of a sudden, I don't have action. I don't have take two coats and give one away. I don't have him saying, do this, do this. John gave them a checklist, you might say, or certain steps they should take. Jesus said, to do the will of God is to believe, to do the work of God, believe on him whom he has sent. So children, or any of you keeping notes, question number one, what is the work of God? This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. I'd like for us to go to John 14. Can you read that? It's got kind of small to get it all on there. If you can't read that, you turn to John 14. We're going to be reading 1 through 27. And I want to look at what it means to believe on Him whom He has sent, to believe on Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. And here's question number 2. If we love Jesus, we should do what? Verse 15, If ye love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. Judas said unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'd like for us to go back over these verses and notice the train of thought. In verse 1, he says, Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. So he says, believe there. In verse 4, he says, And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So he's talking about things that they should know. But in verse 5, Thomas says, We don't know. How can we know? So there's still some doubt there. There still are some, maybe a lack of clarity, some question they don't understand yet. Then verse 7, Jesus says, If you had known Me, you would have known My Father, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. And what He's saying is, you know Me, and if you know Me, you know My Father. We are one. Verse 9, If you have seen me, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So we have a reassurance there again. He's trying to express to them that, or convince them, maybe you would say, verse 10, believest thou not? We have some doubt again. Verse 11, believe me. He says twice, believe me that I'm in the Father, or believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So we have, it seems like a pretty consistent theme here of knowing and believing and knowing the Father and all of that. And then all of a sudden, in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It seems totally out of place. He just kind of dropped it in there. Where did that come from? But notice that after he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, after that, it changes. Now he says, you shall know. There is a sense of assurance and a sense of confidence. Because I live, you shall live. Here's our theme for 2015. In love with Jesus. In verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21 through 24, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I'll go back to that in case you haven't turned to that. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to make yourself known to us without everyone knowing? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. What I would like for us to get from this, what I would like for us to notice is that I think we often get it backwards, but love produces obedience. I think sometimes we can work really hard on being obedient, hoping that it will create love in our hearts towards God. Obedience will naturally occur when we love. You show me a rebellious teenager, I'll show you someone who doesn't love their parents. You show me an employee that can't stand his boss, well, obviously he doesn't love his boss. Who can't follow his boss's instructions, maybe I should put it that way, unless it's a moral dilemma, something like that. But when there is friction, there is a lack of love. When we love someone and respect someone, in our instruction class this morning, we were talking about feet washing. Jesus said, if I wash your feet, you are clean every whit. What does that mean? And I'm not sure I know exactly, but I believe one application that we can make of that is when I wash your feet, I'm saying I am a servant and I hold no grudges against you. Love produces obedience. Love produces honor. I think we can try real hard to obey. We can want to love God. So I will try really hard to obey Him, hoping that will show Him my love, or hoping to create a feeling of love in my heart. An illustration I like to use, or that I really appreciate, is just the simple idea of a tree bearing fruit. You can't imagine, or you don't imagine that there's a tree out in the forest somewhere, And it really wants to be an apple tree, so it really tries hard to produce apples. But it always just produces walnuts. It makes no sense. Neither do you imagine that when you see the apple tree with it's full of apples, do you think, my, that tree must have really concentrated this year. It's just an apple tree, and it grows apples. Now, there's pruning involved, there's fertilizing, there's spraying, there's all of those things that are involved. But if I'm sitting here trying real hard to produce obedience to God, maybe I'm not part of His rootstock. As I grow in my love for God and get closer, in love with Jesus, as I develop a knowledge of Jesus, it says we know that we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When we know Jesus, we become like Jesus. If we get to where we are in love with Jesus, many of the other things will take care of themselves. Let's go to John 15. Verses 1 through 17. One of the words that came to my mind as I was thinking of loving Jesus is the word abide. Just simply abiding, living in Him. John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. I guess what I should say now is that I'm not going to make many applications. This is kind of the opening message on this theme, and I'm sure each one of us will have different applications through the year. But I just want to present to you the idea, the concept of simply loving Jesus. In love with Jesus. Does that describe my relationship with Him? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. This occurs to me as I'm reading this. I don't want to say we don't try. You know, that if you just get in the right frame of mind, everything will just come naturally and smoothly. But I do think that anytime, if you were to tell someone that you love them, but you'd rather not spend time with them, or rather not be with them, or work on building a relationship with them, it probably wouldn't mean a whole lot to them. And I guess, for me personally, I think Tony was talking about being resolved. I think one, maybe the main, how shall I say this, an important part of a love relationship with Christ is simple communication with Christ. I'm not sure if I heard it here or read it, I'm not sure. But prayer is not so much about me talking to God as it is me hearing what He has to say. So if you're here this morning and not sure where to start, I believe prayer and Bible reading could be a very good place to start. And each one of us is going to have to search our hearts. What can I do? How can I build a relationship with Christ that produces love? Love in my heart towards Him and appreciation in my heart for His love. And I came across a verse this week that actually was on a completely unrelated topic. And the verse, I don't remember what it was for anymore, but I looked this up. It says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Most of you probably recognize that phrase. Does anyone know the last part of the verse? It's Isaiah 54. It's going to be up here in a little bit. I'm just wondering, does anyone know the end of the verse? I think this is a real key for us in our Christian life. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." We don't go about to establish our own righteousness. Our righteousness comes, and I don't mean that we gain righteousness by this. I'm saying we live righteously out of a heart of love towards Jesus. In love with Jesus. Children, I don't know if you caught that or not. The answer to number 4, where does our righteousness come from? It comes from the Lord. In love with Jesus. I pray that this year can be a time of each one of us really being able to grow in our appreciation for Christ and what He has done for us, to develop our love for Him, and to just see where it takes us, I guess. Living, of course, in obedience, of course, doing what we can on our part, but doing it out of a sense of love, not out of a sense of a fear of judgment or duty or obligation, but working on, striving for, building a relationship with Jesus. This is the work of God, to believe on Him whom He has sent. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you for your time. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn from your word, that you just speak to us so clearly and directly at times, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone, that we could love you as we ought. Lord, I pray that you would just remove the blinders that is so easy for us to have as far as what it means to be in relationship with you. And sometimes, Lord, we can be busy but not loving you. I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand, to appreciate what you have for us and what's there for us when we love you. Give us wisdom. We pray your blessing on this year and all that it holds, Lord. I just pray that you would go before us, that we would follow close behind you, Lord, and that you would just lead our congregation this year. Pray your blessing on each one. We thank you. We bless you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.